Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by John Glennon from SI.com. To begin the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get hot and heavy into the Titans with him. Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN at 8:30, Charles Robinson at 9 o'clock, and Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, at 9:30. So a lot still to come here today on the show. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, the opening night roster is out. Adam Vingan putting these roster decisions out there last night. At forward, Nick Cousins, Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, Cody Glass, Mikhail Granlund, Rocco Grimaldi, Tanner Jeannot, Ryan Johansson, Luke Cunningham, Matthew Olivier, who is on IR at the moment, Colton Sissons, Ellie Tolvanen, Philip Tomasino makes the opening night roster, and Yakov Trenin as well. On defense, Benning, Borbietsky, Carrier, Ekholm, Favreau, Harper, Yossi, and Myers, and then, of course, Saros and Rittich in goal. So there's your opening night roster. Matthew Olivier on IR, so he's not a part of things at the moment. There will be a decision to be made whenever he comes off of IR, and you'll have to get back down to 23 at that point. Anything in particular stand out to you about the opening night roster? Any surprises for the opening night roster?
No, not really. I mean, I think, you know, Tomasino, I knew he had it all along.
That's right.
Maybe it was very close. But I think, you know, look, beyond the fact that fans really want to see him, and look, there's probably going to be unrealistic expectations, and then he'll have a month and he'll be okay, and people will wonder what's, you know, that all that stuff is part of it. I feel like this team needs him, even if he's young and not quite ready to be what they think he can be someday. I mean, I think they need more, you know, creativity and scoring and speed and skating, and it looks like he'll be able to bring that. So, but I mean, I think the roster is about exactly what I figured it would be.
Yep, and we'll see what happens when Olivier is gone. I mean, you know, Darren talked yesterday on our show about Igor Afanasyev. I mean, you're going to see him up at some point this year. He's down in Milwaukee now. Honestly, I think it's kind of good that he's starting down there. You know, he's not had some time at the AHL yet. Played in the KHL last year. I think he, to Darren's point, is further along than they maybe thought he was coming into camp, and we'll see if he can translate to the AHL level. So, I mean, look, John Hines kind of pointed this out last week, and it is, I mean, it's true. We make a big deal about the opening night roster. It's really the roster for one game, and then it can change pretty quickly after that. I mean, you're going to see a lot of movement up and down this year. I'm sure you'll see, you know, Afanasyev up at some point. You'll probably see Jeremy Davies on defense up at some point. I mean, there's going to be some moving parts. I mean, heck, depending on how David Rittich does as backup goalie, you could see Connor Ingram up at some point to play in goal. So, you know, there's a lot of things about this that are going to change. The lines that they've been practicing with the last few days are about where I thought they'd be. They're interesting. I mean, you've got the top line, Forsberg, Johansson, Duchene, and then you've got Tolvanen, Granlund, Cunningham, and then maybe the most intriguing line, Cousins, Cody Glass, Philip Tomasino, and then the herd line on the fourth line with Jeannot, Sissons, and Trenin. Interested to see how that third line does coming up on Thursday against Seattle. Cody Glass, Philip Tomasino together with Nick Cousins as the veteran presence kind of holding that down. Interested to see how they do in the matchups they get at home on Thursday.
Yeah, that's the completely unknown line.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, the big hopes with two of the three guys, you know, on that line. Because you basically kind of know what you're getting. Well, I shouldn't say you know what you're getting. You know, your top line, you hope that the preseason was actually a preview of what you're getting from that line.
Yep.
And some of what we saw in the Carolina series, too. But you still, I mean, you know those guys. Obviously, the second and fourth line are pretty, you know, those guys have worked together a lot. But that third line is very, it's the big mystery, the big question mark.
It is the big question mark. And it's one of those things where you look at the second line. Can Tolvanen take off with Granlund and Cunningham? You know, obviously Granlund and Cunningham played a lot together last year, played pretty well in the playoffs. And I think it's fair to say, like, Granlund is the forward that I think John Hines probably trusts the most. I mean, you could probably make an argument for Forsberg there as well. But Granlund, obviously, they're comfortable putting him in any situation. He's going to start off down the middle. Can Tolvanen be productive right from the jump? And can he do it 5-on-5? We know he's going to be on the power play. You know, they're going to feed him a lot on the power play. Based off last year, based off what I've seen in practice, there's a lot going through Elie Tolvanen on the power play. So we know that that is going to be an option for him. Can he be productive 5-on-5? And is Granlund and Cunning the right combination to help him be productive 5-on-5? Interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, that's a very important. And, you know, his ability to – I feel like the injury had to have had some effect on sort of the production dip, you know, once he came back. But we'll see. By the way, on that power play then, is that Forsberg in the right circle?
I believe they had him on a different unit the last time I checked. I'd have to go back and run through my notes.
I thought those two were really – it was just really good for a stretch last year.
Yeah. I believe, if I am remembering correctly, I believe Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne are also on a power play unit together.
Interesting.
Yeah. We'll see if – oh, look, that was a couple days
ago.
We'll see if
that sticks. Fast.
Yeah, we'll see if that sticks for game one. I mean, they could change that. They're not practicing today. They did practice yesterday. They'll practice again tomorrow in preparation for the Seattle game. But very interesting, and a lot of fans high on Yakov Trenin this year. They think Yakov Trenin could have a big year offensively. So we've talked a lot about Tanner Janot and maybe whether or not he could be a guy that breaks out a little bit offensively. Maybe Yakov Trenin. We'll have to wait and see. Starting off on the herd line.
I mean, what does that mean? I think he's a, you know, like a 10-12 goal guy. Is that good enough for where he is?
I mean, if you told me right now the fourth liner had 12 goals, I'd be like, yeah, you'd probably take that.
Right. So, I mean, people aren't talking like 20 goal score.
Some people are talking.
Yeah,
some people are talking.
You think that's possible? Might be a little bit of a stretch.
But I mean, possible? Sure.
Hey, he does some things where you're like, oh, yeah. He's
got
fun,
some hands.
Fun guy, absolutely. Fun guy to watch. They're going to get some ice time.
They're going to get some ice time. And then on D, Ben Harper sticking around, baby. He's on the opening night roster. He's been playing at practice on a pairing with Fabro. So I think he's going to play Thursday. Like, I think right now.
That's the third pairing?
The odd pairing out is going to be Benning Borowiecki to begin play. Just the read I get on it. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think old Ben Harper's going to be in there on Thursday night.
There you go. I guess it's better than Gudbranson for your sake.
Oh, yes. There's no question about that.
Gudbranson's like Mariota territory for you.
Did anybody pick him up?
I have no idea.
They didn't bring him back. Let's see. Eric Gudbranson is Calgary Flames.
Okay.
So he's in there, baby.
See? He's still a pro. Other people like him, too.
That's right. Really interesting to see. Number one, we'll see if Callie Yarncroke is going to play on Thursday for Seattle. Right now, Seattle is playing tonight, by the way. Hockey season getting underway tonight. The Kraken and the Vegas Golden Knights tonight on ESPN. Callie Yarncroke not going to play. He's on the COVID list at the moment. So I don't know whether or not Callie Yarncroke's going to be here and be available to play on Thursday. That'd be pretty disappointing.
What is the – no idea what the timeline is on that? Huh, man. That would be too bad. Yes.
I thought we were going to have the return of Jadeveon Rexcroke for at least one night.
Yeah, like
maybe not.
Hour-long pregame video presentation. We'll wait till next time.
That's right.
Boy, Callie.
That's right.
Yes.
Brian texting in, the Yak did snag a sweet breakaway goal against Carolina on Saturday. He did. Breakaway backhand hands.
He's done it before.
He made. I want to say it was like a Red Wings game last year where he made someone look just silly. And I was like, was that Yakov Trenin that did that? Wow. Look at him.
He's nimble.
Yes.
He's nimble for a big guy.
We'll continue the discussion on the Predators. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your expectations for this Predators team this season. Outwardly, they are low around the league. What are your expectations for this group? Hit up our text line at 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. And make sure you're tuning in all day long today during the 8 a.m., noon, and 4 p.m. hours each weekday this week for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to see Monday Night Football on October 18th in Nashville. When you hear the Monday Night Football theme song, be caller number 2 at 615-737-1025, and you'll qualify to win the tickets. Two winners will be announced on Friday at 5:30. Talking Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ryan in Nashville texting in. I think Trennan will get around 15 goals. His shot is misleading to goalies. Would love to see more of him on the power play and penalty kill. Also, the team will finish no better than fifth with no playoffs. This is coming from Ryan in Nashville.
How much power play time do you think Trennan's getting this year?
Not much. Don't think we're going to see a ton of
penalty kill, play. Though.
Could get some penalty
absolutely.
Kill time. Yeah, absolutely. Craig texting in, my expectation as a season ticket holder is the young guys get good quality NHL experience and the team finishes somewhere around 500. They're able to make noise in the next couple of years with the youth gaining confidence and experience. Yeah, let's say that plays out. They finish around 500. They
That's like worst-case scenario, isn't it?
Around 500?
Well, don't you either want to like rebuild or be good?
I would think so.
You know, like to me, like you don't want to just be dwelling in the agonizing middle.
No.
Bottom out, got to trade Forsberg, rebuild, or
make the playoffs.
Be good.
Yeah. Michael in Clarksville texting in, I think the Preds hang around 4th through 6th in the division all year, and the young guys in Milwaukee play well enough that Poile feels comfortable selling a few of our older pieces at the deadline, Rittich, Cousins, Binning, etc. I think one of Duchesne or Johansson has a bounce-back year, and that combined with the young guys will convince Philip Forsberg to re-sign. And that's another thing. Here we sit 2 days before opening night for the Predators. No Matthias Ekholm, no Philip Forsberg as of yet to a contract extension. Interested to see if what Michael points out there is true, and maybe the young guys play well enough, Johansson or Duchesne, maybe both play well this year, and maybe that's enough to convince number 9 to sign a contract extension.
I think if that's how I'm looking at it, part of how I'm looking at it. There's also your whole, like, your future and just doing the best possible thing for you financially and all that stuff. But if I'm Philip Forsberg, I very much telling this team without saying it, you know, show me something.
Also a very interesting year for John Hines, right? Because, look, I thought he actually did a pretty good job last year. They started off very poorly. And then the run the team goes on the second half of the year, yes, a lot of it was goaltending, but I do think there was a pretty discernible difference in the way that they started to play, and we'll see whether or not they can carry that over to this year. But as far as I know, John Hines has 1 year left on his contract, and this is the year for John Hines. And look, sometimes this happens. Sometimes they give extensions, and they don't say anything about it, and maybe that's happened. I don't know. But big year for John Hines, and I guess my question is, like, you know, outwardly, the expectations are not high for this group. I wonder if you gave David Poile, like, some truth serum, what are his expectations inwardly for this group this year? Because, you know, if you end up missing the playoffs this year, but your young guys look good, there will be a lot of Predators fans yelling after John Hines. I mean, there already are a lot of Predators fans that are just totally out on John Hines. This is a very interesting year for him.
Yeah, it is. I think that he absolutely has to get credit for last year. I mean, if he doesn't get credit for last year, then what's a coach? I guess you can't give him blame for anything either. He has to get credit for last year, and we're all well aware of who probably gets the blame if things don't go well. Even though I actually kind of look at the Titans and Preds a little bit the same way. I think it's more. I actually heard Willie and Darren arguing about this yesterday, the coaching aspect for the Titans, okay? Because I think Willie agrees with me that it's more personnel than coaching, but it doesn't mean it's not coaching at all.
Right.
I think with the Preds, it's more personnel than coaching, and I frankly just think it would be ridiculous for John Hines to be blamed more than David Poile if things don't go well, but that often happens. And it is, I mean, it's important for him to, you know, coexist and, you know, have good working relationships with all these players, Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson and so on and so forth. Obviously, he has punished them, you know, in terms of the lineup at times, and I think deservedly so. There have been comments that suggest some frustration, I'd say both ways, but that's a big part of this job too, is making that work and everybody being a professional.
Nate on the text line says, I don't have faith Poile will do the right thing if the Preds are just on the outside close to the deadline. You sell Forsberg because even if the Preds limp in, they'll be out in the first round again. 2017 is not the norm. You play well, you get in convincingly, not limp in and make a run. This is coming from Nate on the text line. That is going to be, and you know, I think that's a realistic scenario. What happens if the Predators play maybe better than expected? And they are right there on the line in terms of being a playoff team or not being a playoff team. And you have some players maybe that are still unsigned. Like, what do you do if you're David Poile? To me, I've been pretty consistent on this. I don't know how you can't just lose Philip Forsberg for nothing in my mind. So, I mean, my decision is pretty clear. But I do wonder, what will the Predators do if that's the case? And maybe you're the last wild card team as the deadline's coming around. What do you do at that point? It's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Well, and that's to me, that's like the nightmare scenario, too. We know it's important for the business to make the playoffs. Business is taken into account. There's certainly, I think, most people in the league, and certainly on a particular team, would say, just get us in. You know, we're good enough. Get us in, and we know, look at this tournament. Come on, look at what the things that have happened in this tournament.
I mean, the Montreal Canadiens just made the Stanley Cup final.
They did. You know, so how much of a contender, I guess, do you have to look like for it to be justified that you go after the playoffs?
That's the interesting question, because it's looked so different so many times. Like, there wasn't a person that picked Montreal other than Elijah Campbell to win last year against Toronto in the first round. And then they go to the cup final. Elijah did.
Good job, Elijah.
Yeah, way to go, Elijah.
Right. No, but the problem with that is, like, that's true, but we could also count up way more examples of, you know, where teams that limped in look just like teams that limped in.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still way more of that than the magical. But there are more of these magical out-of-nowhere runs, I think, in the Stanley Cup playoffs than any other. So there's that, hey, just get in and, you know, we can do it. I think if the Preds are on the fringe and they're just like, it's like last year. You know, the thing about last year, though, is, too, like, they had a long stretch of being more than a fringe team. They were really good for a stretch.
Yeah.
After being really bad.
Yeah.
It's just it was a weird situation.
Well, and that's, you know, we've talked and you brought it up. Most people are just dismissing the idea that maybe Johansson and Duchene play better this year and look good. And, look, I get it. I understand why you're dismissing it, because at this point, you'll believe it when you see it. I'm with you. I'm in that same camp. But what happens if they do? Like, what does that mean for this team? Like, if Johansson, Duchene, and Forsberg look like a legitimate top line to begin the season, what can that do for this group? I mean, that's a pretty gigantic difference in what this team can be if those three guys in particular lead the way.
Yeah.
Like, they're paid to lead the way.
Well, and then can they sustain that? Can they be relatively consistent? No one's totally consistent, but relatively consistent through an entire season? I mean, crazier things have happened.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think the pessimism about this team has to be rooted in the expectation that those two guys are going to produce around the same level.
Well, and I get it. It's on them to change it at this point. I mean, the pessimism is more than warranted. I'm just saying it's not impossible for them to figure it out. So we'll see what happens on that front. Josh texting in, I wasn't completely sold on Hines at first and still probably am not 100%, but I think coaching stability is more important than most. That's an interesting term in the NHL because the Predators, for the most part, have had coaching stability. I mean, they've had three coaches in the history of their franchise. That's not really the norm in the NHL. Eh? They cycle through some coaches in the National Hockey League, man. There's a lot of coaches.
Yeah. Well, hey, they could go on a run of one every 2 years, too. That happens in this league sometimes. Yeah,
there's that. John from Huntsville texting in. What are the odds you could trade Forsberg and Ekholm and then re-sign them in the offseason? I would say not very high.
Yeah.
I mean, look, has that happened before? Sure.
That's not a strategy.
Yeah, it's not a great strategy.
you don't count on that.
Yeah. Sometimes the grass could be greener, and you let a player go, may not come back. Now, to John's point, though, you can't be afraid to deal him away because you think you might not. Even if you want to go back and try that, you can't just be like, well, we can't deal him away because we want to sign him to a contract. You've got to either sign him or get something.
I mean, in theory, you have the same opportunity when they're a free agent, right?
You do.
So, yeah. You actually get assets back, and then you get into the mix, just like you would have gotten in the mix if you didn't trade them.
I have wondered, have GMs ever had conversations with players about that? Like, hey, we're going to trade you, get something back for you, and then we would really like to have you come back.
They have to, right?
Yeah. I'm sure they have.
Is that technically tampering? You can't tamper with your own player, right?
No, I don't guess so. No. Yeah. Ryan texting in, come trade deadline if both Forsberg and Ekholm aren't signed, then you need to move them both. So you don't get Ryan Suter'd again. A lot of Ryan Suter references.
Oh, yeah. Never forget that one.
Now Dallas Stars legend Ryan Suter on Stars this year. Interested to see how that goes. I think they could
He'll get booed just oh, as yes, in that uniform just as well as he won the
Ryan
the
Suter
one.
Can't get out of the Central Division, apparently. From the Preds to the Wild, now to the Stars.
To make as many trips to Nashville as he can make.
I guess so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Lane Kiffin addressing the media yesterday. Did he take a little jab at Tennessee? We'll get to that coming up next. Hockey season, speaking of, is in full swing, and there's no better place to bet on the NHL than FanDuel Sportsbook. NHL parlays are the perfect way to make every shot feel like a hat trick, and you can turn a little bet into a big payday. And all season long, FanDuel giving every customer NHL parlay insurance. You'll get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short. If you don't have a FanDuel account, sign up now using promo code ROB to place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. FanDuel is always hooking you up with great odds and exclusive offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid out in as little as 24 hours. So this season, make every moment matter more and bet on the NHL with FanDuel Sportsbook. And remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Parlay insurance, max refund of $25 per day. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days for parlay insurance and 14 days for risk-free bet. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That was Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin yesterday at his press conference. Some Vols fans taking that as a shot at Tennessee, saying that on schedule to be their first sellout in a few years, that he brought that up in the press conference. Do you read that as a shot by Lane Kiffin at Tennessee? It's pretty mild in terms of Lane Kiffin shots.
Yeah, the way he said it, I think he was just sort of matter of fact. I mean, it's the truth. I didn't realize this until yesterday that this is likely to be, I think they're going to announce real soon, I think today possibly, the first sellout since Georgia 17. By the way, anybody remember that game? Oh, boy. I remember being in the house for that beaut.
That was something.
That was basically like Butch.
Was that the 41-0 game?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
It was a sellout, and there were many in the crowd rightfully booing their team. It was basically like, I think you already knew. But that was the day where it was like, there's just no question. It's just a matter of when Butch Jones is going to be fired. Again, you're talking 1 year after the Hail Mary to Juwan Jennings in Athens.
Yeah.
Basically ensures, we thought, that they would be in Atlanta. It goes fast on you.
It does.
But look, Lane's right. It's been several years. I mean, maybe he just heard that information and he passed it along. It didn't sound like Lane, tongue-in-cheek, taking a little shot. Now, maybe he's so good at taking shots at people that even he can make it, he can kind of camouflage it like that. On Twitter, I'm sure he'll take a shot this week.
I'm really, really interested to see Lane Kiffin's Twitter feed this week. I'm sure it'll be fun. This will be the look. He's been back to Knoxville as the OC at Bama, so it's not his first time back since all the stuff went down with Lane Kiffin. It is his first time back as head coach.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting. It's also interesting to me to see how like, and you know it's. You know, it'll be different Saturday because I think Tennessee fans, based on what they've seen the last couple weeks, they're pretty okay with Josh Heupel at the moment. But, you know, the absolute hatred that they had for Lane Kiffin for like a pretty significant amount of time, for like 5-6 years, they just despise Lane Kiffin. And then going to this last coaching search where they really wanted Lane Kiffin, it's been a pretty crazy about face.
Well, look, I don't blame
I don't either.
That at all. I don't. Guy can coach. I mean, yeah, you know, he's
popcorn ready.
He left for his dream job, and I actually believe him. I believed him at the time, and I still believe him. Like that was the one thing at that time, especially different than now. USC was like the job.
Yeah,
USC was. I mean, Pete Carroll had taken that to it was the best program arguably in America, and it was home for him. So. It just was terrible luck for the Vols that Pete Carroll decided to, and you know, actually we can blame our guest later, Charles Robinson, really for part of that.
Yeah,
decided to leave for the NFL, so you know, I'm sure Vols fans enjoyed dunking on him as that totally failed on him, and that program has never been the same since. By the way,
it's not.
But he came around. He's proved himself as a coach, right? So. I say bygones be bygones, and maybe next time around, whenever that may be, there can be a reunion.
Maybe so.
You know,
he did name his son Knox.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and obviously, like you said, I mean, it's year one of Josh Heupel. Things are going well. I'm excited for this game. I think it's going to be a blast. It would be a huge win, obviously, for Heupel, for the Vols. But what if, like, Ole Miss kind of is what it is. It's very good. But there are some limitations that I don't think you have at Tennessee. I think Tennessee has a higher ceiling. Would Lane Kiffin ever – or is it enough of a jump up for him to ever consider coming back? I'm just talking hypothetically. I don't think it'll probably ever come close to happening.
Hypothetically? Is that what you said?
I did not, but I like that.
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I mean, look, I would have given him a call this last time. I don't know that they did. I'd have given him a call if I was Danny White this last coaching search just to make him say no. He probably would have said no, but I'd make the call.
Yeah. The problem is it would be an incremental step up from Ole Miss. And some people would say, is it a step up? Like right now.
Right now, yeah.
It still is. It's a step up, and I mean, just look at compare the two budgets. I can probably pull that up quickly. There is a difference.
Well, there's always something going through the Alabama fans' head of who's the coach in waiting. Like for a long time, it was Dabo Swinney was the coach in waiting, and then some even said Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, I was just gonna say a year ago, it's like, they beat Missouri. It's like Jeremy Pruitt, and I just got that extension. Stay away, Alabama. Jeez.
Changes only in a hurry.
Again, things change fast.
But now they've moved sport. To Lane Kiffin. Like, Lane Kiffin is apparently the coach in waiting now for Alabama, according to some Alabama fans. Yeah.
Because you have to be realistic. You're probably not going to get Kirby. Like, why would, you know, Kirby play for Georgia? Yeah. You're not going to probably get Dabo, right?
Well, probably not. But I
probably
guess they continue to just totally unravel at Clemson.
I mean, it is his alma mater. Yeah. But probably, you know, yeah. I mean, that,
he'll
that's
be fine.
So Lane Kiffin certainly would be better than just going out and trying to find someone. But you never know. I mean, you're telling me like if Alabama, whoever, who's the hot name, you know, Matt Campbell or whatever, like, you know, would you rather just go get the best coach, or you have to have some tie that you'd coached there before?
Well, and the other part
I hate that mindset.
Yeah.
Get the best coach. Nick Saban had no Bama ties. Worked out okay.
Well, the other part is, like, would you really be that surprised if in 2031, Nick Saban is still the coach at Alabama. Like, he'll be 79 at that point, but you know, I'm not going to be overly surprised if he's still there for a long time. So what is coaching?
10 years?
What does coaching waiting mean?
Yeah. Well, right, exactly. I mean, who knows what it's going to look like? By then, there will be 20 names we don't know right now who are like, you know, QB coaches or whatever.
I mean, Jeremy Pruitt could have already made his comeback to big-time college football at that point.
Oh, man. Well, it's going well this year, so.
Yeah, it is.
No, it is interesting. In the meantime, what kind of reception will Lane Kiffin get Saturday night?
I don't know. I mean, he'll probably get booed because it's
the other coach.
So my guess is he'll get booed. Like, I doubt very seriously that Tennessee fans are just going to stand up and cheer him or anything. But I don't think it's going to be like an extreme reaction either way.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those guys. Like, I think most Tennessee fans dislike him.
Yeah,
but they'd take him. I mean, who likes Saban? You know, Bama fans.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
I find him to be very funny.
Yeah, he's
unintentionally.
He's gotten. There are some funny moments, but other fan bases for the most part,
like,
right? But they'd do anything to have him as their coach.
Adam in Portland texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lane is one of those people that is universally hated. It's so easy to hate him. UT fans, USC fans, Bama fans, they've all been burned by him. Thanks for the 1 year of memories, Lane. Awful human being. I wish him many failures.
Why did USC or Bama get burned by Lane?
Yeah, he got fired by USC.
He just failed at USC.
Yeah. Adam
he
says
burned that, Bama by leaving for a head coaching job? What are you talking about?
Adam says it will be the worst booing in the history of that stadium. I think you're going to be really disappointed. Like, I don't think enough Tennessee fans really care anymore.
I will say, though, it's a night game. Yeah. It's going to be a real good day for tailgating. They're doing the checkerboard thing.
Yeah.
That's
gone well.
Yeah. Just sort of the setting makes for like a Thunderdome kind of, you know, feel. Like, I can't wait to see the great environment.
Yeah.
I was actually looking at tickets yesterday because we are taking Jack to visit. And so then we're all going to be down there. And they're not cheap.
No.
I was like, gosh, I should have probably looked at this a couple weeks ago, huh? Probably would have been a lot better. Like, it's going to be packed, and I mean, it's like uppers, right? Uppers end zone, like corner, are like about $100 a piece right now.
Jeez.
So I mean, you think about, again, talk about like Tennessee fans. What are they, 4-2, unranked?
Yeah,
you're 4-2, unranked, first year coach after all this awfulness. And you can still fill that massive place for this game. I mean,
102,000 people there.
Yeah, I mean, it's an elite fan base. You know, that does not support an elite program, but it's an elite fan base, as we will once again see Saturday.
Well, thank God they finally got a night game. There have been a lot of 11 a.m. Central Time games going on, noon Eastern. They had the Pitt game.
That's right. They haven't had a night game at all this year, have they?
Not at home.
Right. Yeah. And again,
the
Bowling Green game, which
is on a Thursday night, but yeah.
So Bowling Green, yeah, Thursday night, but Bowling Green, exactly as I expected, like it's about 80,000 people there,
yeah.
80,000 people. I mean, it's the new era of a coach, but again, all this stuff, and the way attendance is in sports, yeah. I thought that was actually a good showing. 4-2, the place is packed, and it's not. I mean, yes, Lane, and it's a great side story, but it's because people want to get excited about this program. And they have reason to, right?
They do. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for the groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. You can learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Vols. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What sort of a chance do you give them against Ole Miss? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Tune into the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday, the Dallas Cowboys taking on the New England Patriots. Kickoff set for 3:25. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Vols, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And the question is, what sort of a chance do the Vols have in this game against Ole Miss? The line is 3.5 for Ole Miss right now. So 3.5 the line, the over-under set at 79.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Obviously, everyone expecting this to be an offensive showcase on Saturday for Matt Corral and that Ole Miss offense and Hendon Hooker and the Tennessee offense. What sort of a chance do you, Joe Rexroth, give Tennessee in this game to pull off, I guess, technically what would be the upset at home at Neyland Stadium?
If this is like a 13-9 game, I'm just walking out of the press box. I'm not writing a word about this dang thing. Like, what if that happens? Just like this awful defensive grinder.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. They will be the 13-9 will be in the rearview mirror 6 minutes into the game.
Yeah, you would think, right? I mean, I just don't. As much as I like how the Vols are playing defensively, Matt Corral is awfully good. Their offense is awfully good. Their defense is bad. Their defense is really bad based on what I've been able to see. I know, like the opener, they like looked pretty good against Louisville.
Louisville.
As a Kentucky fan, though, you should want to say Louisville.
Doesn't
that tick them off?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll say it to them. But
okay. Yeah, I just can't go Louisville.
Louisville?
Yeah. Louisville. Yeah. There you go. Is that better? Yeah. You just muted yourself.
I did. Down 1-0.
Yep. Tennessee has a good chance to win this game, I believe, because I do think that the crowd is going to be a factor. The crowd matters again in football, and I think especially in college football, this place is going to be electric. And that place, you just can't find many places better than that when it rocks. And again, when I see it, I'm going to remind myself, 4-2 unranked team after the program has just been in the dregs for a decade plus, and here we go. So it does matter. I think it will matter, and I think Tennessee's offense is executing at such a high level. I don't expect that to stop. Now, Hendon Hooker, is he as good as Matt Corral? No. The numbers say he's as good as anybody in the SEC right now, but he is playing with a lot of confidence. The quarterback run game is really working for them when they need it. The running back situation would be one thing that I really want to know this week.
Yep.
Do they have one of those two guys ready to be healthy and play well? They need one of those two guys.
The over-under now up to 80.5. So from 79.5 to 80.5.
We're into the 80s.
It's moving up.
Yeah.
Probably will continue to move up.
Probably.
Well, also, defensively, who do you have available? Like, you're still, I mean, it's going to be a high-scoring game. You're going to need to make some stops.
You'd like some stop or two.
Yeah, like you're going to have to make some stops if you want to win this game. So, I mean, can Tyler Barron be more of a factor? Like, can he be healthier? Is Theo Jackson going to be available in this game? That's a big deal if he's available. So, defensively, they did a great job last week of kind of battling through all that against the South Carolina offense that's just not very threatening. This offense is way more threatening than South Carolina. It'd be nice if you're Tennessee defensively, even though the expectations for both defenses in this game are going to be pretty low. Still going to need some stops. It'd be nice to get some bodies back for the Vols.
Yeah, and you've got to, again, number 9, number 6.
Yeah.
Got to get there. I think it's Elijah Simmons at some point would be really nice. I mean, he's, to me, by far their best interior defensive lineman. But they have had a lot of guys like Blakely. I like how he's playing. Butler, those guys are, they're playing well. It's a game just like playing your offense in practice. I mean, I actually talked to Alante Taylor yesterday on the phone for something I'm writing this week, and he's like, I've watched film of them, and it's our offense. Now, is it exactly their offense? No, but basically, so the ball's coming out fast, and it's, you know, you have to get lined up. You would think for both defenses, at least, like, they've seen it a lot, so they know what they're getting into. But as we've seen with Tennessee, I mean, if you execute and the operation is totally precise, it's just hard to, what are you going to do? You're not going to, you can't take away the little screen, you know, for 3-4 yards, which all of a sudden turns into one missed tackle and 7 yards. And then all of a sudden you jump it and boom, they just hit you for 50. Both teams do that to the opposition.
Lane Kiffin was asked yesterday about returning to Tennessee. Says, quote, "There's two things here. One, that's a long time ago. And two, like, we've done this thing. Since USC, I've gone and played USC, played against Tennessee, and played against Alabama. So it's not like all of a sudden you're going back to a place you used to coach at. Again, went there twice at Bama. Awesome place. I said something in some article last week about houses where we lived, and they asked, what was your favorite house and where you lived? And I said the house in Knoxville. They said, why? And it was a great house, great setup with the river, but the people. Really enjoyed the people there, still in contact with a number of them, and we'll see some of them on Saturday. So Lane Kiffin, looking forward to a homecoming on Saturday. Really enjoyed his house in Knoxville for a year.
Seems like he had a lot of fun times there and really did enjoy the people.
Yeah.
Good for you, Lane.
Way to go, Lane.
What is it like, it doesn't matter, but like this idea that I heard last year when they were still looking for a coach, like there's just some people in Knoxville that are like, no way. Who would that be? And at this point in 2021, why would that be?
That was 2009.
Right.
It's a long time ago. Number one, like, Lane Kiffin still says some crazy stuff every now and then.
Sure.
And he'll spout off
bless
the mouth.
Bless his heart. Yeah.
Which I've grown to really enjoy. But I think it's also fair to say he's grown up a little bit last decade plus, and he's not really the same crazy guy running around like he was in 2009 in Knoxville. He's not Joey Freshwater.
As far as we know.
As far as we know.
I mean, there's a different name. But, yeah, I mean, is that what it is? Is it just some, like, because it's not like, I mean, the administration's all changed over anyway, you know?
I guess. I mean, are you afraid that he's going to, like, send your program into the death penalty? Yeah. Like, I just.
You think he cheats any more than Pruitt did?
I mean yeah, like, what do you think he's doing?
He cheated at the SEC appropriate level. If you could get an honest vote from the entire Tennessee fan base right now, you can have Lane Kiffin right now and replace Josh Heupel. What would the percentage be?
Right now, I mean,
at
I'd say yes.
This very moment, okay. I mean, I think the right answer is a quick yes, but I'm just wondering what percentage of the Tennessee fan base would be like. No, either because whatever hatred for Lane / the hype train.
The hype train the last 2 weeks is pretty. Tracks. It's up there, man. The hype train's high. Last couple of weeks.
Hey, they should be excited about what they're seeing right now.
They should.
So, what's the percentage?
I'd say it's still around 65-70%. Say yes.
That low?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Oh yeah.
You think that 30 to 35% of people would say, "Nope, I want Heupel. Get Kiffin out of here."
Yep.
Holy.
Well, I think
maybe you're right. Maybe.
I think there are some people that still feel like Adam does on the text line where they just despise Lane
Kiffin.
Yeah,
that's true. So that's part of it.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be interesting. Like, how many hearts and minds have already been won over, you know, by Heupel to the extent they'd be like, Lane, thank you, but no thank you.
I've seen some on Twitter. I knew it wouldn't take long.
Well, again, it's just the whole, like, the last coach never did. We never won a game with him. We never got a first down with Pruitt. We never made a tackle.
Well, they didn't get a whole lot of first downs.
Well, yeah, this is true. This is true.
But he knew where the first down marker was. That's good.
Yeah, he tried to educate people. He tried. I'm sure Blake's figured it out.
What's your percentage?
See, I would still say it's something like 85%, and that maybe most of the 15% would be just like the Lane haters.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. It is one of those things where it's like, just everybody just – we'll see. Because there's probably going to be some bad Saturdays here coming up.
Yeah.
Right? Probably. I mean, I think the Georgia
game, there are going to be.
Yeah. But look, even – I will tell you that I'm even, like, kind of intrigued. Like, I'm looking at that Bama game. Like, gosh, they might put some points on the board in that game. Now,
they're going to give up 1,000.
They're going to give up plenty. They're going to lose. The Georgia game could be ugly. So, So it's like, calm down. Don't get too excited right now. And then don't get too disappointed when it goes that way. You know, just understand it's year one. There's some good stuff happening right now.
They were up at halftime last year against Georgia. You remember that?
Oh, at that point, at that very moment, Jeremy Pruitt. And you know what? Sign him to another extension, Phil. Another one right now. I want double his salary right now. Yeah. We are going to bite the whatever.
Yes.
Out of people.
That's right.
Whatever Phil said. It's incredible. Like, since that moment. Well, from that moment to the end of the year. Like, oh,
just
gosh.
Total collapse. When we come back, we'll be joined by John Glennon from SI.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they look ahead this week to the Bills. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.